So, Spike, why don't you tell us how sewage got started back in 1991?
Well, the world was a much more violent and chaotic place. There was a lot of abandoned buildings and squats and all that, and a lot of kids coming down to be into the punk rock scene. Like, at any time, there's like 200 to 50, you know, punk rockers out there, and we were just hanging out on a rooftop. We said, yeah, let's play some music.
I mean, sewage came along at a perfect time. I mean, because I was 18 in 1991, and I remember sewage, and I remember bands like Husker Du and the Ramones were making a comeback.
That's right.
It was like a resurgence of the late 70s.
It was. It was a punk rock resurrection. Revival, I would say, yeah.
Now, what is your definition of punk? Because I look at it as a form of music social awareness.
That's usually what I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, punk's usually just social awareness, political issues.
Or fun.
It's fun, yeah.
It's fun, too. But, yeah, my vision of punk rock... Okay, Ruggiero was telling me about this. My vision of the punk is just like you said, except I just remember a lot more mohawks and spiky jackets and so on and so forth.
Less hipsters.
Yeah, less hipsters.
Do you think maybe, punk always makes a resurgence when people let it go and it gets out of the mainstream and then it goes back in?
I can't answer that. Sometimes, yeah, maybe it's like a sports game. You got to not watch it for it to come back.
So, because, I mean, it's a genre that should stay out, you know, that shouldn't be brought into the mainstream. But when it gets popular enough, people always seem to suck it into that arena.
Yeah, you're right, because they had all the Green Day and the Blink-182s come out afterwards. And, yeah, I don't know. I was never a big fan of that. There was another band too, where the guy sings in monotone.
Bad Religion.
Bad Religion.
Oh,
yeah.
I love Bad Religion. I love that genre.
He was a professor somewhere. I thought they had more of a punk thing because they had been going since the beginning too.
And they're since sure like 85.
About, yeah, 80. I'm not so sure about the other ones, but I don't think they really had any message either. That's what you're saying. When it gets to that point, they're just having people play it without any message of social awareness. Like the Clash were good at doing that.
Yeah, they're kind of conveying a feeling.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you used to hang out, or you knew Gigi Allen, man, and not a lot of people know who that is these days.
Well, he was a toilet rocker.
So, I've seen video of his funeral. That's not far from the truth, man.
He was upset at the being hung like a peanut, biologically. Poor guy.
Nice. Now, how would you define Sewage's reign through the early to mid '90s, up until when you guys broke up, or the first time originally?
It was punk rock, and then with a hardcore edge to it, because we always had to deal with the hardcore crowd that was around too. It was either the start of all that grunge and Green Day music stuff that was starting out then, but we were going along from the older crowd, from like the CBGB's days and the Ramones and all that, but we always had to deal with the hardcore crowd. So we had like a slight hardcore edge on our music.
Now, how would you describe the New York underground scene at the time?
Well, let's see.
Heavily metal influenced, I would say.
Yeah, they had went metal.
Like hardcore at one, hardcore punk at one point was just pretty much death metal for most.
Yeah, that's when they had grindcore mixed in with it. But yeah, and all the that's what I'm saying. Most of the bands would start off and then they'd turn more hard and more hard and more hard. And there's only so hard you can get after a while. Yeah.
Now you took. When did Sewage break up for the first time? Was it around the like 96, 97, around there?
No, they disbanded when someone left the band.
Okay, well,
voluntarily.
So, well, what I'm getting at is you took a another, you know, like a detour into acting and modeling and all that stuff. How do you go from fronting a punk band to doing that?
That's, well, you're always trying to plug your band to get your band hired too.
Yeah, exactly, man. But I mean, you scored some pretty good gigs doing that, man. I mean, you were in a Sony commercial. You did the movie 200 Cigarettes, Working for a Dream. You were on Letterman a few times.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was a lot of work. I like to work with the Japanese too. They paid us union to scale and flew us to the desert and filmed us at CB's and at a strip club too. You know, New York was New York then. Yeah. Like I said, the underworld. And
did you do a big designer? Oh. Did you model thing for something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Armani. I did like a model thing for Armani.
Nice.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. In the beginning, and then it was Crucial Chaos, and well, that's only college radio, but it was Punk Station on there and a lot of stuff. And Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum did documentary on punk rock and a comparison of New York and London, and they asked where did it start, and they filmed my band 3 songs at our rehearsal studio. They filmed me doing a tour of the neighborhood and explaining the demographics and the social history and the upheaval, you know, social upheaval, and then they filmed me with a bunch of other people in front of CB's, where we were all punk started in New York, because it really did, with you know, CBGBs and Max's Kansas Cities and all them.
And it really did start in New York, because I mean, you could go back to 72 with the New York Dolls, you know, Iggy and the Stooges and so on and so forth. And
the Velvet Underground.
Go back to the Velvet.
Yeah, late 60s.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it was all that music, and who managed them? The same guy that managed the Sex Pistols. He managed
Malcolm
the New York
McLaren.
Dolls. That's right. And then that brought them there, and then later on the Ramones came back, and that's what really did it, was the Ramones, when the Ramones went there.
Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of like both scenes for different reasons. I like the New York scene for the harshness, and I like the, you know, and I like the London scene for mostly for the Sex Pistols and the Clash, actually. But they both have merit, but yeah, I mean, it's almost a no, you know, it's almost a hands-down winning contest that New York started the punk movement.
I know, yeah. But I love how punk developed over there. That's great, with the mohawks and the jackets and the spikes, and then the anarchy and the riots and throwing.
Yep, yep, yeah, yeah. And like, you know, you had Susie and the Banshees, you had the Sex Pistols, the Police kind of delved into it. You had Gen X.
Yeah.
You had you know, and then after the Sex Pistols broke up, Paul, you know. Paul and Steve started the Professionals, and it just evolved. But New York had its own evolution like that. I mean, because you could say that, you know, like Blondie, you know, was a transitional act. You know, the transition from somewhat of a punk movie, because she's from the CBGB crowd.
Yeah, yeah. She's from the crowd. Yeah, I don't know. For some people, like me, CBGBs is more defined by the Ramones, the Dead Boys, and yeah, the Dead Boys. I ended up playing guitar for Cheetah Chrome in his band when Guns N' Roses covered one of the Dead Boys songs in there.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just CBGBs. I mean, there was Max's Kansas City too.
Yeah. So. Sid Sings.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually bought that when I was 15.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, it's a great album. Well, where do you you know, obviously, I mean, you've got a lot of history in your personal life. I mean, how does it feel to be part of an iconic era in music?
It feels really good. I'm glad that people appreciate it. And I like it because it's not senseless, mindless garbage that people tell you to like. It has social issues, which are melodic and people could dance to and get into, and then get a subconscious thought, oh, maybe I should do something to change that situation, become involved, become a part of something to make a change for the better.
It was one of the last eras that actually had substance in their music that was worth listening to.
Yeah, and you know what was great about it? It's one of the last eras that pissed your parents off.
It's true, like, this generation coming up is the first generation to become more passive than the last.
Yeah.
they have no conflict. They have no challenges, you know, so they don't need a punk rock as much.
Exactly.
But going on, I see punk rock coming back more because people have anger. They have angst again. They have a reason to rage.
Yeah, we're angry, but yeah.
How do you see the scene as of right now, this second, in, you know, being in the heart of New York?
In the heart of New York.
It's not what it was in the 90s.
We're getting out of New York to go on tour because we want to go where there's more people like us. Here it's a gentrified suburban mall. They made it into nothing.
It almost seems like the last 10 years was a mass castration of music.
Pretty much, I'll agree with that.
You know, I mean, well, what do you think of today's music versus the music that pissed our, like, you know, going back to pissing our parents off? And when do you think the homogenization started? When do you think everything just became a shadow of its former self?
YouTube. All these YouTube sensations that come out, like Justin Bieber just singing cover songs and getting recognition for nothing, pretty much.
I think you said it pretty good there, yeah.
It's too easy to get into music, like, at this point.
But I don't like it that it's just a dance thing now. It's some
pretty
computer
much
playing something that is not an instrument on it. They said punk was bad because it was a mockery of music, like a sneer at music. But this computer stuff has no musicianship at all. It's just dancing.
Well, here's what the difference is, though. If you remember a few years ago, Justin Bieber teased one of his fans because she was overweight to the point where she killed herself at the hotel they were both staying at. And then, like, I remember, you know, like, meeting some of my punk icons, like, you know, well, even John Lydon, as mean as he can be, or Mike Watt, you know, or TSOL and stuff, and they were all nice enough to talk to me, even though I was a punk ass little kid. You know, I mean, but music like punk is what gets the bad reputation. But then you've got people like Bieber, who, it's documented, yeah, he's killed some of his fans.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. GG Allin only threw crap at them.
I'll take a shit sandwich over death any day, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
So.
And plus, him being underage, drinking and drag racing a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. What does this kid have to do to actually get arrested?
Yeah, and then he at the deposition he shows up like a gay Ken doll.
I was gonna throw that in there somewhere that they called him a lesbian.
Yeah, he looked like Vanilla Ice's stunt butt.
Dude, he's looked like a lesbian since he was 14 years old and first came out on the scene.
Yeah, exactly. You ever notice every 25 to 35 days he disappears for a week? So what do you think about the punk scene overall, because it's become a global movement, because you also, you know, you now have like the LA scene, like I mentioned TSOL, but you also have Rancid and Firehose and Mike, or anything Mike Watt's doing now and stuff. Then you also have the Midwest Milwaukee scene and everything, and they're all different, you know. I mean, it's almost like punk is splintered into subgenres now.
Yeah, it's been that way. I noticed that a while ago.
Well, every area puts their own spin on things. You know, it's punk's really influenced by what's in your life. So, I mean, we all deal with different things in different areas.
Mm-hmm. But one thing I've noticed about punk, like if you remember the rap thing 20 years ago, you had East Coast and West Coast, and there was actually a body count due to the war between the two. But punk, as violent as its reputation as it's given, is not like that.
Never.
No. But the only thing that used to go on was some skinheads would come around to shows and break holes in walls and rip seats apart, and, you know, they would tear the club down and cause trouble. But that got blamed for the whole movement.
Yeah, that's where you, like, find a few bad apples and you blame the whole tree.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, punks have a sense of unity to a degree, you know? Mm-hmm. We're loyal.
Yeah, and I still don't understand to this day why punk gets a rap like that, like it's violent, when... I mean, you read what, like... I mean, if you read some of the shit New Kids on the Block pulled on tour back in their day, you know, I mean, like, 14-year-old girls and cocaine and stuff, and...
Wow.
I mean, that like, tops it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so, you know, so... What I want to know is why do you think punk rock has a stigma like that with the older generation?
They're scared of things that are different. They're scared of the mohawks and colored hair and spikes everywhere.
But you know what? You know what I don't understand is they're the same generation that had "I Hope I Die Before I Get Old."
You don't really want to die.
Yeah.
So. No, but well, let's talk about what you guys are doing now, man. What is Sewage up to now, and when did you guys decide to kick it back in gear?
We decided to kick it back in gear was in July last year, right?
Yeah, something like that.
We had a Karen. Yeah, right after.
Pretty much reformed the band, I think, and then all just started to gel together again.
Everything falls into place and says time to do something within and take it somewhere.
Now, did it start with a phone call or like a chance meeting or friending somebody on Facebook or?
Well, basically, it went through a trial and error of trying out people that you probably shouldn't have there because, you know, yeah, they may not, So trial and error, and we went through a few periods in time and all that, but we're now fully established, and this is how it is. We had our goofers, and we had our JVs to curse under our breath about, and, you know.
And our Nathans.
Yeah, and our Nathans. Nathans turning into a hipster yuppie dude. Yeah, we...
I'm going to cut off my mohawk and put on a cardigan.
Yeah. we went through a few of that, and... But now things are picking up and together, and it'll be good. We're writing a new album because we want to spread a message, and I think we want to talk about the bad cop, no donut issue.
Yes,
and we want and we got Department of Corrections is another one. You know,
no donuts, but plenty of sprinkles.
Sprinkles of blood with the truncheons hitting people. I run into people from overseas and they say America big police problem, and they talk with their accent and they say I guess it's they say it's not like that over there where they're at. The cops don't do that.
When you're trying to be a police state, you tend to have those problems.
Exactly.
That's police is the problem.
Hey, what do you think about all the shit in Baltimore with the soldiers on the ground?
It's fucking crazy.
Everything's
crazy there. I mean, it really sucks that... I mean, I understand that you're angry, you want change, but this is only going to make things worse.
There are things behind it that you don't know. I got an email from somebody yesterday that explained what really happened. Mm-hmm. And the kids were set up by the police to have some kind of propaganda shit. I don't want to get into this. This is about the band, but it's really... Yeah. It's just propaganda. It's bullshit. It's the kind of shit Sewage writes about to help make people aware and get some justice in this world, at least the way we can do it.
Yeah.
So, it's all left up to the spin doctors, man.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, it's cool that, you know, like, you know, the punk movement is coming back because the punk movement is a protest movement disguised as music.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody screams anarchy, but I mean, I don't think it's so much anarchy as far as just a resolution for society.
Yes.
You know, finding an answer to the question.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. We don't have a voice, but the music is a way to
the
have
music
voice.
Is a voice when you don't have a vote.
Yeah. Well, the music goes viral is what happens. And then, you know, that, you know, one song, you know, I mean, like a picture is 1,000 words and a song is 1,000,000.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that scares the people that don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you think that, I mean, because punk is coming back and it's been like that since 2008. I mean, I know you, some of the posers are going to say, yeah, well, Green Day's been around since 1989. I mean, like, I'm talking about actual punk, not minstrel punk, you know, so, yeah. You know, but I'm, you know, but I mean, do you think there's going to be a backlash with the 1% again, like there was, you know, 77 to 82, where it was like, oh, these guys are causing all these problems and stuff. And do you think that's going to happen again with the 1%?
I hope so.
That actually, well, that could be a good thing.
I mean, punk is a genre that has conflict in it, you know. It is about conflict. There should be conflict within it to keep it fresh, you know, keep it angry.
Conflict theory.
Now, how do you think sewage is benefiting being back together now in the age of the internet versus the 90s when the internet was like $3 a minute and nobody could use it?
Yeah, well, now it's good for advertising things.
Yeah, it's easy to get your message out there.
Yeah, it's a tool. I mean, you get around popular sites, you can get yourself seen more and you can spread more, you know. I think it's good for that. I just remember now the first sewage website was it looked like a Polaroid pictures on a TV that was stuck there forever, and it had words and shit move and anything. And now we can like move things.
All interactive and
interactive.
All
yeah,
watch video and
even the videos and the music.
Back then, it was like a flyer.
Yes, it was a picture of a flyer or a picture of the band, and the music played. And if you had that, that was big.
After it took 5 minutes to load, 10 minutes to load, you could totally see it.
Yeah, you could go make a sandwich and come back, and then that'll when I'll start.
Exactly. Turn the speed back on. Yeah, that was that's what I remember. But yeah, it's faster now, a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Now, having said all that, with the internet being such a free marketing tool for anybody, what if Warner Brothers or Atlantic came to you and said, "We want to sign you guys"? What would you do?
Well, we need to get the figure right that we get paid, because we have to live, right? We're artists and we're putting up the work. And
it is a job at the end of the day. I mean,
there's no more record sales, so.
Yeah. There's no more record sales. That means you'd have to play. Well, we're going to go play as much as we can anyway, so that's what that means. That means that they're just going to probably tell us where to play or something like that.
Do you think the days of major labels are over?
I kind of do.
It's getting there, definitely.
Because they're acting like the Mexican drug cartel now, man. They're all like, you know, you're finding heads in the desert because they're all pissed off because they're chasing the same nickel now.
I mean, it's so much easier to self-produce music now than it was. I mean, anyone with a laptop can learn how to self-produce their own record.
And sound good.
And yeah, exactly. And some of these, like, recording devices they have out now are great, too.
I think it's nothing more that they're just they are nothing more than publicity machines nowadays. It'd be nice to have a publicity machine behind us. That would.
But, I mean, in a way, you guys are better off, because you could get a publicity machine made from fans that you know, not only respect you, but know what you're about, instead of some PR firm, you know, 300 miles away, you know, that is just taking a guess and, you know, takes a look at a picture and, you know, oh, these guys are Rancid or these guys are Green Day. Let's market them like that. And, you know, and totally misconstrued the idea.
Definitely not Rancid or Green Day, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, you know, some idiot at a PR firm is going to say that because that's all they know.
Yeah, that's right. They don't know what we know.
I mean, we do need our fans. I mean, our fans are the reason we do this. That's the reason we get up on stages for them.
You know? So, well, what's a sewage show like? I mean, what can you expect to go if you go there?
Energy.
Yeah, a lot of energy, the melodic music. All the fans are there. You might get some beer spilled on you. I mean, no one's throwing it on purpose, but they're dancing around and they're very happy. And some people are pogoing too, you know.
Worst injury I got was a bruise on my hand from a high five from a really happy fan.
Nice, man. That's all you can ask for, man. It's just you know, being happy and listening to music that you love, and hopefully become a better person for it and learn something from the lyrics.
Yeah, that's. I wonder if people still do it though, like that, or I guess they do. They're always having the earplugs in their ears, they must be listening to something.
I think one of the things lost, though, is listening to a full album, though. I don't think a lot of people do that anymore. No. They just listen to, like, the three, like, really, like, big songs on the album that are going to be singles and just disregard the rest.
Mm-hmm. I think I think that's the iTunes fallout. Because I like having the LP in my hand and reading the, you know, the credits and everything while I'm listening to it.
I'd rather have a digital copy.
We like records.
Yeah, we like records.
Pops and cracks.
I like the pops and cracks, but I'd rather have digital music. I mean, I can have a whole bunch of music on my phone.
You're not old like we are.
You can't. I ain't that much younger, though.
Well, I like the vinyl sound has a warm tone to it, too, though.
Well, vinyl is in a class by itself, you know.
But he's talking about the feel of listening to a whole album as opposed to some iTunes thing. We have, 5 billion songs to choose from.
I'm just
going to
buy this three songs off the album and don't care about the rest.
We used to have to sit at home, and we got a brand new thing, and it was a nice, you know, big record that you could look at
and
see.
Look at it while the music played and...
Or even with a cassette, you have to listen to a cassette. It was a pain in the ass to change songs on it. It's not like a CD, like, oh, I don't really like this song. I could skip through it by just pressing a button.
Well, you could skip it on the vinyl, too.
Pick it up and drop it, and it was trial and error, you know. Usually it was too lazy. Like, I don't want to get up and do this. I just want to, like, listen to it. I don't care.
You could fast the tape, but it would ruin the tape. So
yeah.
I also like that you could, like, unfold some of the LPs, and there'd be a bunch of pictures.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you'd see them recording it.
Or that Cheech and Chong wedding album that had the
rolling paper
sleeve.
Yeah, that's badass. So
it came with little things, like
so
poster here and there.
Yeah. All the goodies of records. But anyway.
Well, if you could pick a Sewage headlining tour, who would you pick as your supporting act then?
As a supporting act.
Bieber?
Only if you can beat him on stage every night.
That's what I'm saying. Like, make him wear a dress and stuff.
We could just, like, suspend him by some hooks and just beat him with baseball bats like a pinata. That'd be great.
That would be Miley Cyrus.
No, you know what you could do?
That claims that she's the ambassador of New York.
Oh, Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift. And we can have her.
Is she even from New York?
No, she's not. She's from, like, Pennsylvania.
She's not.
And she transplanted down to, like, Tennessee, and now she's in New York. Go the fuck home, Taylor.
Pin her up to a cross.
Upside down.
And the contract would read that she'd have to play punk rock music and blah, 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 and yep.
Oh, you know what you could do? You could have Bieber, but you could have Bieber reenact the scene of Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs playing Goodbye Horses into the mirror. And you guys can play Goodbye Horses. You know, and then at the end of the song, you can just drop them through the stage. Yeah. There's the headline act.
True.
You know?
People would definitely come out to see that.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, who do you think?
I would like to play a show. Here's one. I could. If Black Sabbath ever got together, that'd be a cool cult.
Oh, that would be badass.
Cult show. Yeah.
That would be pretty dope.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be badass. Now, who do you think, other than yourselves, you know, who do you think are other punk bands that are still staying true to the genre and aren't just selling out?
Reagan's not playing. No.
Yeah.
I don't know. We play shows with, like, a band called Urban Waste, and we play shows in another group.
I think Murphy's Law has really stayed true to their roots.
Oh, yeah.
Murphy's Law, too.
Yeah, we play shows on the regular.
That's what I meant by fun. Like, Murphy's
Law.
Yeah,
Murphy's
Law
is kind of fun.
And The Offspring's really fun, too.
They're open.
I haven't heard from The Offspring in a while, man. What are they up to?
I like the one song.
I'm not really sure. I saw them a few years ago live, but
I think they're okay. So, if you had a band, who's on your itinerary that we have to choose from? Are you hooking up the tour?
I can make a few phone calls, but no promises.
A few phone calls, but no promises.
So, well, what does Sewage have coming up, man? I mean, where are we going to see you guys live since you're going on tour here?
Well, right now we have some plans just for Italy, and we're planning to have Vegas after that. Probably some Cali shows.
Cali shows.
I'll tell you what, you guys go to Italy, there is some kick-ass bands in Italy. Italy is an untapped market right now.
We're playing with the Butchers, and they're pretty good, man. I like them a lot.
They're really awesome. Sound great.
Yep. We've actually had them on the show.
Nice.
So they're really nice. They're a really nice band. I mean, and I you know, there's so much talent in Italy, and it's such an untapped market, and it's like almost like the radio stations and the powers that be don't give a shit.
Well, they probably don't also don't have like the same outlook of we have with social media and all that driving everything. Like, we're going into a generation again of probably one hit wonders coming up, like the 80s, you know?
Like the whole American Idol attitude.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking One Direction.
And so One Direction is One Direction too much if you look at their career, man.
Jeez.
So where can we find Sewage online, man?
You can, it's sold on Amazon.com under Sewage and CD Punk Rock.
Baby.
They type in. No. Well, yeah, it's there too, but it's Amazon.com.
Punk.com?
No.
No. What about on Facebook?
Yeah, you guys are on Facebook, right?
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
You get on Google Music as well, too.
Yeah, so. Sewage NYC Punk Rock, man.
And Reverb Nation?
That's not selling it. That's that's just...
That's a listening and streaming.
Listening to it.
What about like iTunes and Spotify and Google Play and stuff?
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
We're definitely on Google Play.
It's on Amazon.com, too. They sell it on over there. I don't have the link recited in my head to tell you.
Oh, we'll put it in the article, man. So it'll be right below this audio.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on the show, man. I mean, like, it's a privilege to talk to one of the original from the scene, man. I mean, it's an honor, dude, for real.
Well, thanks for having us, too.
Yeah, you know?
And I think the cool thing is you're just a regular guy. You know, I was worried actually that it was going to be like a John Lydon moment. You know, but you're a regular dude, and that makes you even cooler, man.
Yeah.
Well, if you're gonna be punk rock, I think you should be a regular dude. You know, you shouldn't have too high opinions of yourself
because the audience you play to should feel that they want to throw bottles at the cops too and have riots and. You gotta relate to you.
So, hey, real quick, going back to the Baltimore thing, what'd you think about that mom?
That's something else, because I finished up an undergraduate in social worker stuff, and that's the mom in a role protecting her family.
I really hope they can calm it all down over there, because I mean it's really sad they're destroying their own homes and businesses and everything like that. Like, come together and fight the powers that be, not yourselves.
Most people are good, and they just don't want any of that nonsense. They just want to live their lives.
Now, why do you think that is? Because that's just, I mean, the 68 Baltimore riots and the L.A. riots and stuff, they stay in their own neighborhoods and destroy their own stuff.
Yeah, they should go.
Just anger without a place. It's just dispelling it wherever, you know?
I've always thought that you should confront the anger where it comes from. And if it's the police that are bothering you, then they should be surrounding the police station and fighting that directly instead. If you're really upset at them doing something wrong, then bring it to their doorstep. Don't bring it to my doorstep,
you know?
And you don't need to burn your own house down either.
Use that energy positively. Go to like religious leaders. Go to your congressman. You know, go to the higher ups in the police department.
Yeah. So if you think they killed somebody, you know, improperly, then surround their station, and at the same time on the phone call the representative.
Yeah.
And the sad part is now the army's on the ground, and that's the worst thing you could. That's the worst thing morally for the population.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a state of emergency out there already.
Because there are streets on Baltimore right now because the army's there that look like Baghdad 10 years ago. You know, and that's just morally degrading to any city's population.
Yeah.
But the only problem is a lot of these cops shoot out of fear. And if you're going to act like this, you're just going to make them more afraid to do their job and make situations more commonplace. You know?
So, well, thank you guys for doing the interview, man. I really appreciate it. And stuff.
Yep.
And it will be out. Today is Tuesday. It will be out Thursday, and I will send Frank and Marco an email when it's out, and then you know we can all share it and stuff.
Definitely.
Okay.
Looking forward to hearing it.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
I got a question for you. Sure. Aside from the interview, you're over there in Chicago.